Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now.
Whenever I start feeling sick, I just stop being sick and be awesome instead. True story.
Oh my God, I gotta go to the emergency room.
Well, assuming you're correct that your right humerus is no longer seated in the glenoid socket, I would certainly think so.
Relax. Kids swallow quarters all the time.
Really?
Sure. If she craps out two dimes and a nickel, then you can start worrying. I got fever.
Dr. Barry Dworkin is here. It's time for the Wednesday house call. So if you have a health-related question, if you've swallowed some loose change, for example, 521-TALK, 521-8255, star 580 on Bell Mobility, or 1-800-580-CFRA. Enjoying this great weather. Isn't this nice stuff for November?
It's fantastic. I'll take it. I will take it and keep taking it.
17 degrees. Okay, sometimes you just can't believe what you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
This started with an article in the Toronto Star that actually came from the Associated Press out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole movement out there about getting chicken pox the old-fashioned way. And one of the things that they've taken to doing is actually mailing, they say, can you believe this now? Because this is a movement, right? The anti-vaccine movement.
Yeah.
They're mailing people who request it, apparently, lollipops that have been licked by sick kids with chicken pox.
Lovely.
And it forced the top health official in Nashville, Tennessee, mm-hmm. to come out and say, actually, that's illegal. If you can't do that. It's against the law. Don't do that. And this story, and you can see it on the parentscentral.ca website, mm-hmm. part of the Toronto Star. You just won't believe what's going on. So then I started to follow some of the links from that story, and you find that there's a whole movement out there of chicken pox parties.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are coordinated through Facebook. No surprise, social media.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one. A chicken pox party line. Found this on Facebook. Connect with other parents who want their kids to get chicken pox the old-fashioned way. Consider this your registry so that if any other members have an infected child, you'll be notified and have the option of setting up a pox playdate. What's your opinion of this? Pox playdates, chicken pox parties, getting chicken pox the old-fashioned way, the old-fashioned way.
Well, you are dealing with people who are infecting their children with a disease that we know later on in life, you know, reaching 80 years of age, someone reached 80 years of age, your risk of developing shingles is about 50%. We get calls all the time, Rob, about shingles and the pain that people suffer from shingles, as well as
it's
some of the
misery.
Yes, as well as some of the other complications that develop. The only way you get shingles is by having had chicken pox as a child or as an adult. The disease itself in children, most children will get through the disease without too much complication. But the point is that it does create a dormancy that lasts a long time. And it does open up a child to, for example, encephalitis or brain infections, neurologic complications. It's not common, but it does happen.
What's the risk of that?
Well,
not common,
It's not very common.
It's rare?
But you do have children that are admitted to hospital because of chicken pox. In Canada, I believe it was 2,000 admissions at one point. That has gone down since the vaccinations have been in place. So you are, you can develop, for example, and children can develop uncoordinated movements. 1 in 4,000 infections will result in that. And that can be something that, although it can be limited, you also have to worry about brain problems. But you know, we have to keep that in perspective, and it's not a very common occurrence. Secondary bacterial infections are. where you need to use antibiotics to treat those bacterial infections. And there again is the discomfort and disfiguring nature of the disease for some that develop permanent scars. So there's that aspect. But the point is that this is a preventable disease now. The vaccine has been in use for more than 30 years. So it's been around a long, long time. And the outcomes have been that you now have a population, now young adults, who have not had chickenpox or protected from it, who will likely need a booster at one point in their lives to maintain their immunity, just like we have boosters for other vaccines. But the point is that you're reducing the morbidity over time. The older we get, the more likely you are to develop shingles. And as a great example, the people that are calling our station now, Rob, are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. No vaccine back when they had chickenpox, and you're seeing this explosion of shingles now, not because of a vaccine that's been used, because that vaccine is preventing or being designed to help prevent chickenpox.
Well, let me interrupt there, because this is something that's making its way around the internet right now as part of the global anti-vaccine movement.
Right.
That it is the chickenpox vaccine that is the cause of an increase in the number of cases of shingles. Do you believe that or not?
For exactly the reason I mentioned, that we're getting an increase in shingles now in people who are in their 50s through their 80s. There was no vaccine back then. So to say that the vaccine is increasing the incidence is completely off the timeline. Not only that, there is data from the Centers for Disease Control that suggested that the vaccine has not resulted in any increase in shingles in the general population. So they're following this. They have now 30 years of data. So there's nothing to suggest that at all.
That there are higher incidences of shingles.
These are people making specious claims without any data to support them. They may find one paper or something that will support
the claim is, this is the claim from the anti-vaccine movement, that there's been an increase in the number of cases of shingles and that it is directly correlated to the introduction of the chickenpox vaccine.
Well, show me the data. I have yet to see anything like that. In fact, the reverse is true. But, you know, you end up with a group that no matter what you say, no matter what data you present, it will fall on deaf ears. It's what we call reaction formation is a psychological term. It doesn't matter what you say. The belief system is so great that they will completely ignore any data that changes their worldview.
All right. We have every single phone line available. 521-TALK, 521-8255, *580 on Bell Mobility, 1-800-580-CFRA. If you have a health-related question for Dr. Barry Dworkin, doesn't have to be about this topic, can be about any health-related question that you might have. 521-TALK, *580, or 1-800-580-CFRA. What are the health concerns associated with shingles?
The greatest health concern, most common things that happen with shingles. One is you can't predict where it's going to come out on your body. And when it does come out, it comes out in one nerve root, either on the right or left side, nerve roots that come out of the spine and so you or on the skull. And so one of the major complications that people are worried about is when you end up with an infection that goes into the eye, because that can cause blindness. It damages the eye. There's a nerve.
You can go blind.
You can.
Wow.
Because if it affects that nerve, but it's a lottery. You don't know if it's going to fall onto that nerve or it's going to be commonly seen on your side. People end up with a blistering rash on the side. But it's the pain afterwards. And like I said, Rob, we have calls all the time of people in agony that pain can persist for years, sometimes permanently. And it is so debilitating. People get depressed. They can't function properly. I have a patient of mine in his 40s who developed this. He was a military officer, and he couldn't work anymore. The pain was so severe and unrelenting. And this was in his 40s. So
essentially disabled.
It is a potentially disabling condition. And when you compound that with, you know, older folks, 70s, 80s.
They may have a chronic underlying condition already.
You've got it. They've already got something else that they're worried about. And now they have this to contend with, and it makes their lives miserable. To which I say, if you can prevent this in the first place.
And which you can.
You can do this two ways. By preventing chickenpox in the first place and then making sure a person's antibody levels remain constant and then giving a booster. Now over the age of 50, the recommendations are to give Zostavax, which is to prevent shingles. And why purposely infect yourself with a disease where you know what this disease does to you when you can use a vaccine that is made from the same virus but is weakened to a point that it doesn't cause those symptoms? Your body responds the same way. It produces the same response, but you don't get all the complications of the disease.
Okay, so let's wrap this up, and then we'll get to some of the phone calls. If you take your child to one of these chicken pox parties, and I've Google searched them. I don't know how prevalent this is locally here in the Ottawa area, if they have these chicken pox parties. But on Facebook, I can tell you it's popular. It's popular in every city and every state in the United States. This is a global movement. Mm-hmm. If you are exposing your child to chickenpox, if your child gets infected with chickenpox, first of all, they'll have to put up with the misery, the potential complications of chickenpox. Mm-hmm. But later in life, they have an increased chance of developing that miserable condition, shingles.
Yeah, they have, by the time they reach the age of around 80, they have a 1 in 2 chance of developing shingles.
Wow. We have a call on shingles right now.
Sure.
From Renfrew. Sue, go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Dworkin.
Hi.
I've listened to you lots of times through my husband's interest in your program.
Thank you.
Anyway, I have, I've had about a shingles now since May.
Yep.
My husband had surgery, and 2 days after that, my shingles broke out. And this was the 5th breakout
that
I've had over 4 years.
Can I ask you how old you are, Sue?
I'm 67.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I have, right now I've got gout.
To compound things even worse.
Yeah, I had yeast infection, bladder infection, and the shingles. And I had had my flu shot and my temperature skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the doctor says now that my immune system is really, really weak. And I don't know what else to do to help build up my immune system again.
Well, the thing is, with regards to how we term how immune systems work, chronic diseases and medications that people use can tend to affect how well our body responds to an infection or an assault on our bodies.
Right.
It's not that the immune system per se is not working. It's that it is being stretched. It's like having an army with a bunch of battalions, and the battalions start to get damaged and they're wounded and they don't fight as well. It's the same thing with the immune system. The body can recuperate and produce more, in this case, battalions. But if you're getting recurrent infections and have chronic diseases, it takes a lot
longer.
Of energy out of your body and takes a lot longer. That being said, to assess someone's immune function, really you're looking at a person's white blood cell counts and how effectively your body defends itself against infections. That is, if you do recover from the infections over time, it means your immune system is working. Because if the immune system wasn't working for any of us, we would die of common colds because you couldn't defend yourself.
I don't feel sick or anything like that.
Now, that being said, with recurrent shingles infections, you may benefit from, and again, you have to speak to your physician about this because there are certain indications and contraindications to using the vaccine, but the vaccine itself would boost up your antibody response, hopefully sufficiently enough so that you don't get this recurrent shingles all the time.
Right.
So that would be one area, at least with regards to shingles, to give your body some protection.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Chickenpox, once you get it, you don't get it again. Is that right?
Well, with chickenpox, what happens is...
I'm just wondering why you would get shingles time and again.
Well, chickenpox is caused by... It's the same virus. We just give it two different names depending on the disease.
Yeah.
It's called varicella zoster. Varicella is chickenpox. You get that, you develop antibodies, you fight off the infection. But that virus doesn't go away. It lies dormant in a nerve root. And under circumstances where you get sick, stressed, immunocompromised, chemotherapy, age is a significant risk factor. The older you get, antibody levels go down. It's as if you're suppressing the virus because you have a strong enough response to it. But once it starts to dip down, when your forces dip down below too low a level, it reactivates. And when it reactivates, you get this rash that comes out.
Right.
You get an antibody response again, builds up, but then time goes, level goes down.
Shingles, you can
come
get,
back out. You can get it over and over again.
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll pick it up after the news with Dr. Barry Dworkin. We have a number of calls about shingles right now. I'm glad about that. Want to clear the air on some of the... I think this is an important topic to discuss this afternoon with Dr. Dworkin. Thank you for all your calls. We'll pick it up after the news. We're back with Dr. Barry Dworkin. And we do have a number of calls on the shingles vaccine, but Liz has been holding for a while and has a question about osteoporosis medication. Go ahead, Liz, and thank you for waiting.
Hello.
Hi.
I like to get some information, if you can give us, well, I hope you, you can give me to do it. I was taken off Actonel since I have taken it since Fosamax starting and then Actonel since 96.
Okay.
And I am in high-risk osteoporosis. Now my doctor, rheumatologist, is suggesting Prolia.
Yes.
And I read some about some information about it, and it is so scary. But all can go wrong.
Actually, it is a very safe medication. I'm not sure where what information you read.
Just what you get on the, and, well, what the flyers they have.
Yeah, you have to put all of that into context with regards to side effects, because you know, they can list all kinds of things, but they it's important to know, you know, is it 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000, 1 out of 1,000,000?
Yeah.
What Prolia is, it's an antibody, and this is an it's the fancy term for it is called a rank L ligand inhibitor. It's what that simply means is that there is a protein produced. It's a messenger. It's a signal that goes from the cell in your bones that makes bone to the cell in your bones that gets rid of bone. And this signal is a means of balancing things out. So in a healthy individual, someone who is not menopausal, it makes sure that your bones are strong, but you don't get too much bone produced. But once you pass the point, especially after menopause, when there is a change in balance, when you start to lose bone, the cells that make the bone can't keep up, and they continue to produce that protein, that signal that tells the other cell to absorb bone.
Yeah.
So what this medication does is it specifically targets that signal protein. It stops the signal from getting to the cell to tell the bone to get eaten up. So in other words, you get bone growth again.
So you would say I could get better bones again?
That is why this medication is being used, is that in some studies have demonstrated after about a year, you do get a certain percentage increase in bone density. So it does tend to reverse the process a little bit, and it is very convenient to use. It is an injectable medication given twice a year.
Twice a year, but it's expensive.
It is very expensive. That's very true. Over the course of the year, it's about as expensive, maybe a little more than taking the pills, but it's just because it's a big outlay all at once.
Yeah.
But it does work. It is specifically indicated for people who have osteoporosis. And if you've already been using the Actonel or Fosamax, which are called bisphosphonate medications, and for a long time, they've likely run their course of what they're able to do. And if you continue to have osteoporosis despite using these medications, then the Prolia would be the next step.
Yes.
I have patients that are on this medication now, and I've had one who's been on it for about a year, and her bone density increased by about 6 to 7%. Now, that's only one patient, so I'm not about to say that this is representative of what will happen to everyone, but it is favorable for her. And because the side effect profile is minimal, because it is only targeting a specific protein and nothing else in the body.
I also take methotrexate, so I'm a bit concerned if it's too much, you know, of medication.
Well, I think that's up to your physician to review that, but I don't believe there's any interaction between the two.
All right.
Okay.
So my physician, she left it up to me. So.
Right. And if she's recommending it,
yeah.
A rheumatologist is somebody who would know this very well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they have you on the methotrexate as well. So they wouldn't have recommended both if they thought there was an interaction.
Okay. We have to move along. Let's go up next. Back on the topic of shingles is Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
Dr. Dworkin,
yes.
Can I take the vaccine? Can I have the vaccine for, what is it called, Zostavax?
Yes.
If I take prednisone?
You have to be careful when you're taking any medications that can immunocompromise or immunosuppress.
Yeah.
So what my answer would be is whoever is prescribing the prednisone for you to make that assessment. Because what the vaccine is, it's what we call a live attenuated vaccine, meaning that the virus is alive but in a weakened state.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody who may be severely immunocompromised, then that virus can actually cause an infection because your immune system is not functioning optimally. It is dependent, though, on the dose of prednisone.
I only take 2 milligrams a day.
Yeah, so that's pretty low.
Pretty low, eh?
I would still get an opinion. There's a couple of ways to get opinions about whether you should have the vaccine or not. The first is, obviously, speaking to your physician who's prescribing the prednisone. The second is, I'm sure public health would be able to answer the question as well with regards to using prednisone.
This is Ontario Public Health, sir?
Yeah, we just call it public health here.
Oh, okay.
And find out. And then there's also the infectious disease specialists at our local hospitals that will be able to answer that question as well. But without knowing more about what you have and the conditions for which you're being treated, I'd like to be safe about this and just say you have to, you know, it's a small dose and my, you know, initial impression would be probably wouldn't be too bad. But at the same time, I can't say that until there's actually confirmation.
Okay. Question about ferritin, Marie.
Yes, Dr. Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. I just have a quick question for you. They did a test and found that my ferritin is quite low.
Yes.
It was 12 and it's up to 15, but that's still pretty low, they tell me.
That is pretty low considering it should be around 80.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So they put me on something called ferrous fumarate, F-U-M-A-R-A-T-E.
Right, ferrous fumarate.
Yeah, is that... Yes. It says that you shouldn't lay down after taking it, and is it a bad drug or is it?
No, it's iron. That's ferritin is a protein that carries iron around your body, so it's a transport truck that takes iron to where it needs to go. But what ferrous fumarate is simply an iron salt. I find that the iron salt formulations tend to be really tough on the stomach. They can give you stomach upset and cramps, and there are other preparations out there now that actually are more like the iron that our bodies are designed to absorb, that is iron attached to proteins. And that is what we call heme-based iron. So when you eat meat, for example, that's the type of iron that's absorbed much better than non-heme iron, which is what you find in plants. So ideally, I don't want to mention particular brand names because I don't want to favor one over the other, but there are protein-based iron that they sell at the pharmacies at Costco. It's the cheapest one. We can give the name off the air. We can let the staff know off the air what it is. But if you speak to your physician, just ask for the protein-bound iron instead, and you'll be able to. And it's absorbed much better. Doesn't hurt the stomach as much. Doesn't constipate as much, okay. And helps increase.
Why don't we have Marie hang on the line?
Yeah, sure.
And so, do you mind hanging on the line, and we'll give you that the name of that off the line?
Yes, thank you very much.
Just hang on, okay? And let's go. This will be the last call for the Sunday house call. Another question about shingles. And it's Patricia. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, doctor.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I was inquiring about getting the vaccine for shingles.
Yes.
Now, my doctor says, you can get it at the drugstore.
You can't really. The shingles vaccine has to be kept at a temperature of minus 20 degrees Celsius. So you have to have the facilities to keep it that cold.
Yeah.
And then once you take it out of the freezer, you have 30 minutes to use it.
Oh, wow.
Because when it's reconstituted and it's mixed up again, there's a diluent or a liquid that's mixed in with the powder.
Yeah.
You have to use it very quickly. So I'm not sure if there are some pharmacies that provide that, but if they do, the point is that if they give it to you, you've got to run.
Yeah.
To get that done.
Yeah. So how do you get it?
Well, usually there are some physicians' offices that have the refrigeration or the freezers that. We have that in our office. I can tell you we have a waiting list now because of production. This is another thing, Rob, is that production of the vaccine, the demand is so great that the production from one plant can't keep up. They're starting a new plant in the U.S. to do that. So we've got over 100, 150 people waiting for the vaccine.
Wow.
So it is available. It just comes in very small allotments.
Yeah.
But there are offices. Ours is not the only one. There are offices that do provide that. It's just a matter of finding out which ones do.
Oh, yeah. Like, how would you find out?
You can call up. Sometimes the drop-in centers might have it on hand.
Like the clinics.
Yeah, sometimes they may. Yeah. Or just speaking to your physician, asking if they know of someone or if they have a colleague they know at their office that provides it, they may be able to get it that way for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you ever had shingles, Patricia?
No, I haven't, but I did have chicken pox as a child.
Okay.
How long, like when you do have the shot for that,
right?
Will that keep you for the rest of your life or do you have to keep getting boosters on it?
That's a good question. Because the vaccine has been out just for a short while, I think they're going to look at that. Yeah. But the idea is that one shot should do it. And the reason is that it's essentially a chickenpox vaccine.
Right, yeah.
But it has 14 times more concentrated virus than the actual chickenpox vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a much greater response. And that's the whole idea, is that you would get one vaccine to cover you. And the indications are over the age of 50, if you've had chickenpox.
Yeah.
As a child or as a younger adult.
Yeah. Now, okay. Is this terribly expensive?
The cost usually runs, the ballpark figure is it's about $200 a dose.
Wow.
Yeah, so
it's not covered by OHIP?
It's not covered by OHIP, which you would think should be, considering the morbidity that happens. So right now it's not.
Yeah.
And but there are insurance companies private insurance companies that will cover the vaccine.
Okay. We're right out of time.
Sure.
Thanks for answering all those questions.
My pleasure.
Dr. Barry Dworkin, that's the Wednesday House Call. He's back on Sunday at 4 o'clock with the Sunday House Call on Health Headlines, 6:50 every morning during Madeley in the Morning.